Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 326, part 1, Self-Reliance. Today is Friday, January 10th, 2014.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today I'm going to minister on this tape will be entitled Self-Reliance. Last Sunday we ministered on self-respect, which equals one of the great words of life, almost a lost word, we said. But we must gain self-respect back again. I mean, if I'm a teacher, my pupils go from that class not learning. I don't have self-respect for myself. You understand that? I mean, if there's one person out of 1,000 that's causing upheaval in a school, let's say he's 30 years old and not graduated yet, majority rules, get out. Not going to deal with one man's rights. Go to the Supreme Court. I wouldn't have self-respect for the 999 at all, would I? So to gain self-respect back in our country, we've got to realize that there are positions of authority. And when we go to school, when our children go to school, they in part represent us. And we have enough self-respect to tell them to behave. We have enough self-respect for the governing body in that school to say once they enter that school, as far as learning, they lose their rights to sell drugs, to raise Cain, and kids will do that, I did, but there was discipline taken. We need to get back into that self-respect again. And actually, the way we treat each other, don't you know, tells how much self-respect we have. How I treat you shows how much respect I have for myself. And also we said that self-respect gives us the higher character. It gives us individuality. It gives us, if you will, eagle's wings, so that we may soar far above our problems. Because self-respect, after all, is the supreme court of individuality. Yeah. You as an individual are being dealt with. We with self-respect can decide our every individual act by our own high code of justice. And we need to come back to that. A sort of a do unto others as you'd have them do unto you code. Or how would you like it if code. How would you like it if you were a poor and a hundred and someone passed you by? Or how would you like it? Actually, that's what it means. Or how would you like it if you needed a kind word and no one would give you one? Code. Or I was in prison. What would you do then? If you were in prison, what would you do if you were in that person's place? Or a widow, or broke, or no job, what would you do? So we can look the other way, but when we do, we lose our own self-respect for ourselves. And then we have to line up a whole bunch of things. Well, I didn't help because I believe this or that or so on. But actually, we have to live with that constant guilt, so we can't even look at one another, don't you know? And that's why in the body of Christ we become so distant. Because we've lost our self-respect. And so our society needs to be again governed by self-respect. Given to us, of course, by Jesus Christ through our new birth. Now, we are too complex. And I had a tape on Friday night. I think it was judging. And I said, we are too complex, too at times confused in our thinkings to ever judge someone else, not even ourselves. Because, you know, we judge by hearsay. Someone says something about this person or that person, and then we say, well, I heard from so-and-so, and they're a very reliable source. Well, that's not a reliable source, and I'll tell you why. It's not scriptural. One word. One time you might hear somebody blow it and get mad. You won't say, that's the way that person is. I know firsthand. But what made him react like that? Why not get into the nitty-gritty of it? And why not look back and remember when you blew it? See, I think we blow it so many times that we're happy when someone else does, and we can point that out, and it takes the attention off ourselves. But anyway, going on, let's today look at another attitude lacking in our country. Oh, how it's lacking. Let's look at it today. And all I believe, because Jesus Christ is not in charge in people's lives. And now today, let's look at self-reliance. Well, you know, self-confidence without self-reliance is as useless as apple pie without the apples. All crust and no substance. See, self-confidence sees the possibilities of the individual. It's the knowing, don't you know? What we could do and what we should do. That's the self-confidence we have. But self-reliance realizes them. It's doing what we can do or have to do. See, it's one thing to know what to do. It's another thing to realize it and then to do it. There's a lot of us that realize we should do this and that. Oh, yes, it's good to do that. Oh, and yes, I could do that. And you have enough self-confidence to do that. But then we have to go a step further and realize we have to have self-reliance. Realize that we have to do that thing that we have the self-confidence to do. Or we sit in between, don't you know? See, self-confidence is like seeing a great big pile of 2x4s and rafters. And oh, we sound good. See that big pile over there? You know what I could do with that? I could build a house. Yeah, I could build a house. I could have the dining room over here and the front room, kitchen there and the bedrooms and a little thing over here, talkers. But self-reliance, nails and saws and fits and plums and roofs and cements and sheetrocks and paints and carpets it out. Does it? Because see, it does you no good to have a self-confidence without realizing it. Say, boy, that guy has a lot of self-confidence. What good is it? What good are, let's say, that a lot of times in our country people retire and they can do this and they can do that, but they sit on it. Oh, listen, if you're listening on the radio, put it to work. Don't criticize. Put it to work. If you were a better teacher, teach those that are teaching now how to teach. Reading, writing, arithmetic, done to the tune of a hickory stick. Right? No, if we're going to get back to the basics, we got to go back to the people that knew the basics, the coaches that are too old to play the game. Is that right? Oh, America. How many people are sitting right now? Oh, Lord. That have the self-confidence to pick it up and do it. But they don't realize it. No, see, these possibilities within us must be realized. And you never realize them until you actually put one foot ahead of the other in faith. Well, I don't know if I can do that or not, but I'm certainly going to try it. I like that. Yeah, I've done that a lot of times. There's a lot of things. I know very little about a lot of things, but dumb as I am, a lot of times God used me because sometimes there's no one else to call on. Now I'm dumb enough to try it. Well, we'll never realize anything until we cause it to materialize. Never. And we call it mind over matter. Well, it means that the mind must conquer the challenge. You don't just sit there and think it into existence. You got to get into it. You got to raise the stink. You got to have your underarm deodorant filling your shoes. Walk around smelling good all the time. You'll never get nothing done. Don't worry about raising a stink. But anyway, the man who, I believe, is self-reliant says, no one can realize my possibilities for me, but me. You're the only one that can realize those possibilities within you. other people can see them. And so that's seeing and knowing. Mark 9 and 23 says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, a real believer means a real doer. Not only a hearer, the word says, but a doer of the word. Why talk about getting something done when you can do it? Get out of my way and let me do this thing. We were talking about it last week. Some guy took and dumped a whole bunch of siding in the thing. Well, what do you need now? Nails? That's all you need. You go in there, and some ladders. Get your wife over there and have her crawl up a ladder. Right? Oh, I'm scared of height. Well, overcome. Crawl up the ladder. Hold that end up. No, a little higher. Oh, you dummy, a little higher. Wait. You might get mad at one another, but get up there and start nailing the thing down. Right? And maybe you might have someone there. Maybe the people in that house might say, hey, you can't do, you're not doing that right. Say, at least I'm doing it. Would you please show us? It's called the old Sawyer Con. Right? Get mad. Right? Maybe you already did. Did you? Well, see, real believers are doers, not claimers, not prophesying over the problem, not talking over the problem. How'd you like to have a doctor come in and examine you and, well, this person has a very rare disease. And I'll call in some more people and they all stand there talking about it. What do you think? Well, I think I seen a case like this back in 1932 and I seen one like that and so on and so on and so on. And then they just leave the room. And you're thinking maybe they'll come back. And they don't return. They just talk about the problem, don't do anything about it. I really appreciate the president. And there's all kinds of people now saying, oh, that don't mean nothing. You'll never know if they do this or that or whatever. Hey, give credit. Well, credit is due. At least the guy came over here. Maybe the Chernobyl incident brought to them to the realization that, boy, we're dealing with dangerous things here. Right? Maybe both sides are beginning to believe now that, hey, we've got to start to take these dangerous things apart. And then we can have hand-to-hand combat. Well, I don't know what the thinking is. We can get into conventional war. There will always be wars, the Bible says. So that's scriptural. Wars and rumors of wars until the Lord comes. Don't look for peace. There'll be no peace. There'll be a restless peace. There'll only be peace when the Lord Jesus comes back. Is that right? But anyway, I believe he saw the possibilities and grabbed them. In the midst of a whole lot of controversy. But let's remember before we go on that our self-confidence and reliance are in God through Jesus Christ. God many times says, see that mountain over there? Well, you talk to it. Tell it to be removed, it'll be cast into the sea. A shovel full at a time. Come on, mountain, you're going to get out of here. You attack your problems, your mountain, one shovel full at a time. Isn't that the way you solve a problem anyway? How do things get done? By starting them. I've been talking to this mountain and it won't be removed into the sea. Move! In the name of Jesus, move! We'll get a group together. We'll stand around it. We'll march around it. Fall down! Move! You're not going to go no place. You have to deal with the problem. And maybe you'll get a little smarter and get a bulldozer and start pushing it in there. Or crane or something. Are you hearing this? It takes a little bit of realizing that there's work involved and you have to literally move that. Faith without works is dead. Proverbs 3 then, 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. A lot of things happen suddenly without warning, don't they? Huh? It's kind of like somebody standing behind the door and you come up and say, "Boo!" Did it scare you? Huh? That's the way fear comes. It comes suddenly and unexpectedly. And how are you ready for it? With your faith. Sudden fear. Don't be afraid of sudden fear. It's always going to be there.
Hello, this is the police department. We got your kid down here.
What?
How about these people? All of a sudden now they're going to be discharged from their jobs and they're going to give them pink slips. Forget what company it was. 5,000 they're going to release. That's sudden fear, isn't it? Think of that. Think about these people that were up here at John Deere or Moline or one of those companies, and they had all of their benefits built up and they were all set in this thing, and they just changed the name. Moline, move your big old fat machine. Took it down south someplace. Just called it something else. Benefits were lost. Sudden fear. God says, don't be afraid of it, because it will come. But your faith is there too, isn't it? How many have had sudden fear this year? Everybody. It comes to everybody. Things aren't working out. Got trouble right down here in River City. Whew. How am I ever going to get out of this thing? How am I ever going to get out of it? Don't be afraid of sudden fear. It will come. It will come to challenge our faith. You have thoughts of it all the time, don't you? What gets you going? Fear gets you going. God uses and created good and evil. Look it up in your Bible if you're taking notes right now, you on the radio. For his own good purpose. Or it wouldn't be. He also created these things. There is faith and there is fear. Isn't there? They're allowed. Aren't they? Whew. What gets you going? Fear of being hungry? What makes you go to work? Fear of paying those bills? Those bills are coming. The bills are coming. You can hear them marching. Here comes the mini gas. Huh? Big old fat thing dressed up in a great big old ugly costume, a little dog on a leash. That gets you going, doesn't it? And the light bill? And you feel good for about after it's paid, and then you go to bed that night. Well, we're all caught up, and you start thinking about next month. Doesn't it keep you going? All things work together for good for them that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. Fear motivates you, gets you going, and you have faith. Job situations. Someone comes in and, boy, did you notice how that they really, no, just use you, and they really mop. Do you notice how they lick at the corners and they don't just put their initials in the middle of the floor? RJ was here? Right? And then it gets you, makes you a little fearful. Say, oh, maybe I am slipping a little bit. I used to do that too when I first came here, but nobody said anything. Oh, okay, well, let's see here. Look around, look out there. Nobody's watching. Get down there and scrub-a-dub-dub with some steel wool in the corners. Ah, there. Mine's cleaner than theirs. But what motivated you? Fear. You don't live by it. You got faith. You know that when you do a good job, you don't have to fear. You know that when you're prepared, when you see the possibilities, when you realize you got to change, that you can do it, and you lose your fear. See, actually, it's so basic. Fear of, the Chernobyl thing caused fear, didn't it? You better believe it. Seeing the danger. Seeing what's happening in our country right now with the drugs. The fear of it taking over is going to cause us to do something about it. In verse 26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Well, it's actually having done all stand on your tootsers and wait upon the Lord. Stand up, weak kneed and feeble of heart. Stand up, having done all stand up. And so now, when we speak of self-confidence, we speak, I believe, of what we do through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do all things well through Christ who strengthens us. Galatians 5 and 10 says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. And so now that being understood, let us continue. Having confidence then in God, we become very self-reliant. Knowing we can do all things well through Christ gives us a self-realization, a self-reliancy. No one, I said before, can realize my possibilities for me but me. No one can make me good or no one can make me evil but myself. And so the Bible says, work out your own salvation. He works out his own salvation spiritually, financially, mentally, physically, and morally. He realizes that he has the full potential to do so because he has the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all of those possibilities put before him by the Lord as a test and a trial. And he uses the Lord. He says, I realize in myself that I can conquer these things through Christ. And he conquers fear. Because after all, life is an individual problem that the man must solve for himself. This is your life. You ever watch that program? This is your life. Hello, this is Mrs. So-and-so. And he recognizes it as some teacher he had. Remember, you remember me when I used to spank your knuckles till they were raw? I had the reddest hands. My hands were always swollen twice their size. I always had my hands spanked with a ruler. Well, they were always doing things they shouldn't do. That's the teacher. If they ever had me on there, there'd be several of them teachers and a couple of principals and a couple of lieutenants from the police department. No, you can't hire someone to live your life. You got to do it. Boy, I wish I could get out of here. I wish I was in the millionaire's shoes and he were in mine. No, folks. Life accepts no vicarious sacrifice, no vicarious service. Nature never recognized a proxy vote. She doesn't deal with middlemen. Jesus comes directly to you. Don't go to someone and say, what's the Lord saying to you about me? Not unless you like to live dangerously. No, she only deals with the individual. First and last, your talents are your life. Well, they always talk about don't bury your talents. Don't bury your life. It says in the Bible, don't put your life under a bushel basket. Well, what are my talents? I play the guitar. I play the piano. I cook well. Well, those are parts of your life, but actually what you bury is your life. Don't bury your life. What are you going to invest your life in? Do you have any self-confidence? Do you realize what I've given you? I've given you a talent. I've given you a life. Your treasure, actually, is your life. Everything you have is your life, your being. And you're stuck with it. What are you going to do with it? Well, I don't have as much as them guys do. All the better. Only one talent. See what you can do with that. Glorify God. With just that one little life. All I can do is this or that. Well, then glorify God doing that. That's your talent. How will you invest your life? Will it show up in the bank of life? Will the rewards, and that's what the rewards are after all, cash in time. Anyway, God is constantly seeking to show man that he is his own best friend or his own worst enemy. I started thinking about all these people jogging. You ever notice how many people are jogging? Where are they going? I was going to put it on the radio. As long as you're jogging, and how many miles do you jog? Oh, I jog 5, 10 miles. I'm up to about 7.5 miles, someone else says. I say, well, hey, where do you live? I live out in Brooklyn Park, or I live over in St. Paul. Well, okay, all the 15-milers jog over here with a bag of groceries. We're the poor. And all you 5-milers out there in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, or Wayzata, or wherever, jog down this way. Make it count for something. Bodily exercise, the Bible says, profiteth little. I mean, going through the exercises of living don't profit anything if it's just an exercise in living. Are you hearing this? All the jogging, all the weightlifting, all the deep breathing exercises, it's no good if you send mommy or daddy out to do them for you. Thanks so much, folks. I really appreciate it, Mumsy and Dadsy, doing this on my behalf. I feel so much better, Hercules and Herculina. Well, it hasn't done you any good. Parents, if you're going to do everything for Junior, where's he going to be? Where's she going to be? They have no muscle tone. They have no brain tone. They have nothing. Likewise, I believe we can, you know, increase our spiritual muscle by just being lax or by being a spectator. Huh? That's what happens when you just read the Bible and you don't do nothing about it. You're a spectator. Or you just go to Bible studies, or you just come to church. Lock all doors and windows. I don't want anybody leaving here. I want you to have enough faith not to go to Tutty during the middle of a message. I felt that spirit of, I want to go out for a second. Now we'll just kill that right now. I'm exercising my faith at my own life. Are you hearing this at all? It's not being a spectator. See, all the medicine in the world is no good unless taken. You're listening on the radio, maybe in here today, or on the tape. Salvation is nothing to you until you receive it. And all the promises of the Bible are of no use at all until believed by you. Taken and consumed, like what we did here today in communion. Come, eat and drink of me. Consume the Word of God and use it. Now, being a Christian is not like Northwest Orient Airlines, a plane with the soft seats and windows for viewing and lunch served to you. And all you have to do is pay for the ticket. Pay your tithe. And someone else does all the rest. They used to use that, didn't they? Just leave all the flying to us. You don't do that now, do you? Check out the bolts on the airplane before you get on there. Say, by the way, has anybody checked this thing out? No, people are getting more checkout conscious now. How about the wire rub in that case? I've seen this on TV, how the wires chaff in there. And the planes start banking and rolling and turning and diving and going back. At, what is it, G-force? Your whole face joins together in the back. And they're starting to check it out now. Well, what made him check it out? Fear. They took off a little cover on there and they looked inside there and says, Well, we knew this, but we thought they'd last for a couple of years and then we could tape them over. But it seems like they bounced too much in the wind and they turned too fast and so on like that. And they chaffed and there was a crash. And you know, all things work together for good. Now people are checking it out. Because they're going to be held accountable for their job. And so now they get back their self-respect. Did you check that out? I certainly did. Here's the sheet right here. But can you prove you did this? I got a home video of this. Right? It's like guys around, you get down there at the job. Oh, that's good enough. Never know the difference. Hey, your job is at stake, right? Ah, that's good enough. Like checking out apples. A little soft spot. Oh, that's all right. Bite around it. That grocery store will go out of business. Right? No self-respect. You're an apple checker. Who checked these apples? And the guy comes up, well, how do you like these apples? Here's your pink slips. Get out. Yeah, it's causing us to realize this. We're having a realization. And so in Christianity, as in the world, the person is ever thrown back on his own self-reliance. In the end, you have to rely on yourself and all the teaching and all the seminars and all the preachings on faith and everything else and how to have it and everything else. It all boils down to you. Okay, now you've learned everything. Get out there. You're a giant. You're a giant. I taught you everything I know. Just go out there and you know all these things. But you'll never realize them until you actually go out. I think this. When a person is going to be a teacher, they should what they have learned, they should go out there into the world and go to work for about 3 years so they have a practical experience of what it takes. So they can tell the kid in there, learning it and doing it are two different things. It's like learning how to fly. And you know how to work the pedals and everything by the book, but until you actually get up there, huh? Hello, come in, there seems to be a storm. Huh? Oh, I never knew it'd be like this. No, I think everybody that teaches should actually have a practical experience. I don't think anyone should place law on anyone about this or that or judge anyone until they've been in that same circumstance themselves. Right? They don't know from whence they speak. It's easy to be a legalist if you've never done anything in your life. It's easy to be a prude if you've never done anything, if you've never had any challenges. It's easy to be self-righteous if you've never done any wrongs, yes. Right? Maybe that's why I have so much grace in my message. It's all grace, because I've done so much wrongs. It's kept me from being self-righteous. But I'm still righteous in Jesus Christ. But anyway, this person accepts all helps, but then he, in the end, must live his own life. Boils down to that, doesn't it? You old people that are out there, you're living by yourself. Doesn't it all boil down to that you have to live your own life? You might be sitting in an old people's home. Well, that's what it boiled down to. You might be living above a dime store with some old faded lacy curtains, like an old spook house up there. It all boils down to, this is your life and you have to live it for yourself. Well, you have helpmates. But basically, when you go to sleep, you don't go, she can't sleep for you. You have to try to sleep all by yourself. And it feels like there's toothpicks popping your eyes open. I'm just using you because you sit front and center. Right? If any of you want to be used, come right up here and sit right up here, will you? But isn't that the truth? It all boils down. This is your life. Well, never feel that you're a mere passenger on this Northwest Orient. No, you're the pilot. And the plane is his life. Isn't there a song like that? Straighten up and fly right. How many have ever heard that song? Anybody, or am I that old? Anybody heard that song? Praise God. Thought I was from another planet. Oh, Papa, don't you blow your top. That's the way it goes. Straighten up and fly right. Oh, Papa, don't you blow your top. I won't sing the whole thing, but anyway. Now, in the end, we must rely on ourselves, live our own lives, or we just drift through existence. Day-to-day existing. No plan, no purpose, just drift. It's like these old cowboy movies. They used to call them drifters. Oh, here comes a drifter. They drift into town and they drift out of town. Sometimes they drift out in a pine box. No, you'll lose all that is best, all that is greatest, all that is divine if you're just going to be a drifter. All that others can do for you is to give you an opportunity. Can you help me? That's an opportunity. When you're at your very lowest and someone calls you, could you give me a hand? Maybe you're going through a very traumatic thing in your life. And, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to survive this. Oh.
Won't you come home, Bill Daly? Won't you come home? I moan the whole night through, God. I'll do the washes. I'll do the cleaning, baby. I know I've done you wrong. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Ring. Hello. Can you help me? Yeah, I'm moving today. Go help him move. You'll forget all about that bum, at least for one day. Well, that's a blessing. When you forget all about it, Bill Daly might come home. You might even find something wrong with yourself. Possible, you know. No, see, we all must be prepared always for the opportunity when it comes. Oh, it's coming. Might be a phone call away. Might be something you see and you say, well, now, should I do that? Or should I lay down? Or should I do that? Or it might be looking so insignificant, but if you do it, it leads to the next thing. Those are all opportunities. It's like going downstairs and seeing something. There's a bag in the middle of the floor. That's Sunday. I'm not working today. But if I would have picked up that bag of groceries and took it over into its proper place, I would have seen something else and something else and something else. And I would have been detained for a little while by doing good, and the phone would ring and say, hello? Yes, this is Ed McMahon. Just for mailing in this thing, of course, I don't believe in all that, but you know what I mean? However, I did send one of them in, I must admit. Wheeler dealers, yeah, yeah, yeah. See, opportunities I'm talking about. By just doing good and getting up off it and losing the lazies leads you into one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and you get going.
There you have it. That was episode 326, part 1, Self-Reliance. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. You may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side.
Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.